It's been a while. I know I shouldn't have kept you waiting, but I'm here now.
We heard you missed us, so we decided to do our podcast.
Yeah, again. Sorry. We didn't mean to take the summer break that we did, but...
I think we're loud.
We're loud.
We're loud, but also, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we did this last year, too. However...
I don't think we've ever done actually a break this long.
We have. Yeah, because you went on, not to make it your fault, but you went on vacation and then you got COVID. Remember?
Fair, so we
took 3 weeks off last summer too. We don't love doing it, but listen, life does be happening to us. How was your break? What did you do?
I finished the second round of my book edits.
Slay.
It's not the final draft. I think there's still going to be some tweaks and stuff, but goddamn, that took literally 9 hours every day staring at the same word draft for like a month straight.
And
it was unhealthy.
I wanted to check in on you, but like, you're a grown woman, and I also didn't want to bother you because I hate when people ask me shit. I want to be like, how's it going? Like, are you good? But
I just like don't know how to do words anymore.
Yeah.
After a certain point, I was like, this is the same thing over and over and over again. Uh-huh. It started to feel like I was going a bit like, in this essay, I will blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, and like too theoretical. But
yeah.
Again, like I said, not the final draft.
Great.
God willing.
I feel like I saw a lot of you this break, or I was, because I kept thinking we were going to record the next week, and then we kept not.
You went back home.
So I went to back to Illinois and Wisconsin, which was very lovely.
Yeah.
So nice. I forget how, like, breaking news, getting out of New York is great for your mental health. Not that I know.
Yeah.
And then we both went to Montauk.
Yes.
Sable went on a press trip that I got invited on, and I had a scheduling conflict, and I was like, if I can go... a little bit later, like 4 hours later, I can totally come thinking like, oh, they'll be happy to accommodate. They usually are. And they're like, no, bye, bitch. And I was like, okay. But then I
feel like you could have gone if you had just gotten yourself there.
But that's not the point of a press trip.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I got another opportunity to go the exact same weekend. Mm-hmm. And I stayed literally next to Sable. So I was like, okay, we're hanging out. So we got to spend a little time on the beach, which was cute.
It was cute. The place full disclosure, it was a Victoria's Secret press trip for their new fragrance. It's a flanker of bear called Bear Rose.
What the fuck was I going to be doing on a Victoria's Secret press trip? Wearing a bra?
What's funny is you would have been the only man there aside from the editors and influencers who brought their men partners.
That's funny.
Otherwise known as boyfriends or husbands.
Yeah.
there was like a fair number of boyfriends and husbands on the trip.
Okay.
And I feel like it was mostly the editors who brought their partners and all of the influencers. If they brought a plus one, it was like their manager.
That's funny.
And it was very funny because we had like one dinner night at this place called like I kept thinking it was called Dorsia, but that's the restaurant in American Psycho.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's some seafood spot that's like a big to-do in Montauk. I wouldn't know about it because I'm poor, but we went there and they had these like two long tables. And they clearly sat the editors together and the influencers together. And I was like, huh.
Class warfare.
Interesting. Yeah, I was like, this feels a little bit, huh. But they sat me on the editor side. So I was like, well.
Here I am.
At least I know some people here.
That hotel you fucking stayed at, though.
I thought it was so funny how you were like, this hotel is so cunt. And then I got there and I was like, there's not even a TV in the room.
I love that place. So the place that Sable stayed, my boyfriend and I stayed maybe 3 weeks prior on another trip. And I really just genuinely love the hotel. It's like a big cement block on the beach. It's very sort of like brutalist, but make it Montauk.
Yeah.
And when I saw where you were staying, I was like, but you better go on that trip. So that was great.
Yeah. Montauk, especially after it like popped off mm-hmm. and now is another escape enclave for the wealthy. Because it used to be just like this working class fishing town. And I used to go camping there every summer because there's a state park on the beach. Mm. So I would go there every summer and it was really fun. And now it's just like so expensive. I can't afford to go there except in the capacity of a press trip.
Yeah, it's wild.
Because there's nowhere to stay unless you know somebody who has a house there, which I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because this hotel, like many of the newer hotels there, it looks on the outside, it kind of just looks like a nice beach motel.
Yeah.
Where it's like two stories and all of the doors are on the outside.
Yeah.
Kind of like a big wraparound porch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, the insides of the rooms are all updated and modern, and there's really sleek hardware and finishing. And they have the lavabos on tall 33, shower and conditioner and stuff like that, nailed to the wall in the shower, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, how funny how they try to make this aesthetic, but, like, make it luxurious.
Right. I love that they told me I couldn't come and I showed up anyway. I was like, you think you can keep me away, Victoria's Secret?
Well, like, the fact that you were just, like, chilling there, I was like, oh, so, like, anybody can just, like, go to their little private beach and their little private pool. Like, okay, no one's going to stop you.
So my boyfriend kept being like, let's go to the beach. And I'm like, we don't have sandals. Like, yeah. We don't have a beach towel. I don't want to bring our fucking shower towels mm-hmm. to the beach. Mm-hmm. Like, being a, you know.
I get it.
Buzzkill about it. And I was like, you're in all black. We're in sneakers. Yeah. Like, I don't think this is the experience that, like, we think it's going to be. Yeah. Like, we can go to the beach. We can go to the goddamn beach.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? Let's go to Sables Hotel. Let's get a drink and sit in the little, like, beachfront patio. I think that's, like,
oh, I wish I got there before you so you could have charged your drinks to my room.
Oh, true. I should have anyway. But
yeah, I should have just been like, this is my room number. Charge it there.
But that was, like, the perfect happy medium because I did not want to go to the beach. I just didn't want to have, like,
me. I totally get it. I also forgot to bring sandals. Yeah. To a beach trip.
I'm just not going to be like tromping around the beach in my Air Force Ones. I've done that before and it's never.
No, it's
never
miserable. Fantasy.
But it was lovely.
Yeah. It's a lovely spot. I was kind of just like looking around me the whole time being like, so did you spend $1,500 to stay here? Did you spend $1,500?
Everyone pull up your bank app right now.
Exactly. What do you do? Who is your daddy and what does he do? I need to know.
Well, and last week I went to this like meetup with a brand that we love and talk about a lot. And Sable was going to come, but then had to bail last minute. And I was like, and I knew about her edits situation.
Yeah,
and
I was like, girl, I just overbooked myself.
No, totally. Yeah. And I was like, do you need to take the makeup off for the book? And she's like, I don't want to, but I should. Yeah. It's like, okay. Because this is a time commitment. So
yeah.
I just wanted everyone to be in a better headspace. Anyway, we're back.
We are back. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, Slay. Also, like, I don't know. Is it just me? But I feel like nothing's coming out. So it's, and again, not that we're a launch podcast, but I'm like, well, it's, you know, there's nothing new to talk about. Like, everyone's on summer vacation, so we can't get a fucking guest, although we do have a lot of guests coming up, which I'm very excited about.
We have a lot of, stuff in the pipe. Just, it's scheduling issues.
Yeah.
It's summer. Because it's August. Everybody's on vacation this month. All of Europe is on vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah, I went to, I did go to a really lovely breakfast event with Memo Paris.
Yeah.
And I was like 45 minutes late because it was like pretty, it was at the One Hotel, like next to Central Park.
Okay.
And the PR offered an Uber code, which was really generous, but getting to Midtown, like upper Midtown, what I consider upper Midtown from Williamsburg at 9 a.m. is it took like an hour.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, didn't think about that, or rather didn't think too hard about it because I clearly left too late.
Well, that's the thing. Last Friday, Kim K's hairstylist, Andrew Fitzsimons, was doing a like martini thing at American Bar or whatever with my girlfriend Megan, and she invited me and she gave me an Uber code, thank God, but it was like 5 p.m. on a Friday. I was like, I'm taking the train. Because if not, I'll see you in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I did take that Uber home, though, because we all accidentally got wasted. So.
Nice.
It's great.
Yeah. That's always, like, the dilemma, is I'm like, I think the train will get me there faster, but I also don't feel like taking the train.
My thing is train there, Uber home.
That's smart. Because
I hate being late.
Yeah. I'm usually, like, a little bit late because I know things never start on time say they are, but I was, like, a little too late.
And you don't drink, so it's like, if it's a cocktail before, it's like.
Yeah. Also, it was at like 9:30 in the morning, and the fact that I got there at like, I think I got there at like 10:15.
Yeah,
I was like, it is a miracle that I got here at this time.
Yeah, my presence is a present. Okay.
But I felt bad, like barging in. John, who's like the founder of the brand, was like in the middle of his speech, and I was like, "Hey, I'm an asshole. Sorry."
That's fine.
But lovely guy, beautiful sense. Hopefully we'll have them on the pod soon.
Yes, I need to request some stuff from them because I want to get to know the brand.
I always thought they were like super, super exclusive luxury. And not to say that they're not, but like they're at department stores.
Well.
Not Saks. Bergdorf.
I have been trying to get my hands on them for a while. And they must have gotten new PR because they're now reaching out to us.
Yeah.
But for a long time, I couldn't like track them down.
I did not realize that the founders of Memo Paris are also the founders of Floraiku.
Yeah.
And Medica. And I was like, Secret Umbrella Corp.
Wait, can we say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like private secret knowledge.
The only reason that bums me out is because I really want to do a Floraiku episode.
I know.
But it's like, I get that if it's all the same people. It's
the same people.
Yeah.
We can ask them. I always think it's weird too.
I love that brand.
Me
too. You turn me on to them. And I
Yeah, Floraiku is like probably one of the most unique fragrance collections.
One umbrella for two, period.
That sounds like a cocktail.
I know, it does. I have SPF in my eye.
Oh no.
It's fine.
What SPF?
The new Naturium. It's very good.
Which one? Wait, is it like the orange label?
Okay, so it's orange, but the last one was a chrome tube with an orange label. It's not that. It's about half the size of this.
Oh.
It's yellow-orange. Okay. It's so good. It's very much like
your
the
nails
summer
Fridays. Are so...
I know.
They're like neon. I know. They are neon. They're not like neon. They are.
I've been obsessed with... I've been like dreaming of this red-orange, and I hate red, especially on my nails.
Yeah.
But I've been dreaming of a red-orange, and I think it's like... the
exact, I love that.
The exact color of like a Lamborghini Aventador. So just like really,
I like red nail polish when it looks like danger red, not like lady red.
Yeah,
and I know red is a classic color, but I feel like it's utilized differently.
Yeah, this is as red as you can get while still being orange.
Yes, as red as you can get while still being orange.
Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
Okay, speaking of nothing new coming out, as you said, twist, I smell like a new fragrance from Burberry called Goddess.
So do I. Ah!
And I don't know why I didn't think about this until like you literally came over this afternoon, but I was like, wait, how are there two perfumes from big designer labels called Goddess? Maybe it's because
the other one is
Mugler Angel. No, Mugler Alien Goddess.
Yeah.
Maybe because that's a flanker and this is a...
is like a franchise, yeah.
What do you just standalone? What do you call them? Just
well, remember, I think it was our last episode. I said like Burberry really nails it with fragrance. I think they're my favorite, one of my favorite like tentpole like designer fragrance houses. Burberry doesn't really do anything poorly.
That's true. Even the ones that aren't for me, I still recognize as being really really nice. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Burberry Goddess. I called it in because when I got the press release, they were like, "It's like a triple vanilla. There's like three different types of vanilla." Blah blah blah. Basically, they billed it as like a super gourmand, and it was like it's Burberry's first vanilla. Amandine Clerc-Marie is the perfumer who created this. They really just kind of emphasized the vanilliness of it all.
Yeah,
and not to say it's not vanilla.
Yeah.
But as we've mentioned on this pod a few times before, it does feel like every designery fragrance is kind of starting to smell this, like they're all copying each other's homework a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really lovely and it is vanilla and gourmand, but I do feel like everyone's doing like a floral amber or like a floral.
Everyone's doing Libra.
Spicy. Yes, yes. It's a floral spicy gourmand in that order, I think. And I'm just like, what is this? What is this trend? What's going on here? It's going to be like the new smell of the mainstream 2020 plus woman.
I think it already is.
Yeah, completely.
We have Libra. We have Paradox.
Yep.
We have...
Paradox is like a little bit more...
There's floral. Another really obvious one. Oh, the Valentino Voce Viva.
Okay, I haven't smelled that one.
It smells a lot like Libra.
Really?
Came out the same time.
The Born in Roma Intense does as well.
A little bit. Yep.
But... it is interesting because I feel like it's like this weird amalgamous combination of the early 2000s gourmands and fruits.
Mm-hmm.
I guess fruit is a gourmand. With this new modern, I feel like they're trying to make it like a just a little bit more like woodsy and like masculine coated. So they're like mixing them two together and what you get is this spicy gourmand. It's as if they made a men's fragrance for a woman.
Okay, I feel like we're of two different minds about this because, say, I'm going to put more of this on
because
I really genuinely like it.
No, it's a lovely scent. It's really, I don't know, there's something like very warm and spicy and kind of textured about it, which is nice.
So
and it's not like a vanilla bomb.
Right. So Sable got it before I did. I got the press release, which was very well written, by the way. And I was like, yeah, I mean, a triple vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Send it over. And Sable got it and she was like, it smells like Libra. And I was like, okay. And I got it and I see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And you are right, but I don't agree. Because I like, I don't, it doesn't smell like Libra. It is definitely its own thing, but it is definitely like heavy vanilla forward with then, what's it, jasmine, that jasmine sambac that we always talk about.
Oh yeah, always jasmine sambac.
And you can, if you were to tell me it was a Libra flanker that was like a super vanilla, I would believe you.
Yep.
That aside, I really, really like this.
I like it too.
It's just really pleasant and creamy and sort of like buttery. There's like almost a waferiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
I love how it wears. I've been not tapping, so I've been spraying a little more, one on each wrist, but the longevity is great. It wears all day, but it's not going to choke you out. It's just,
yeah, it's not a heavy vanilla, despite it being a trio of different types of vanillas.
No. I mean, it's almost like there's something like almost plasticky about it in a really good way. Love it. If you were to tell me this is a super like niche fragrance, I really love it.
Okay, so the press, let me read a little bit of the literature for you.
Yeah.
According to the Burberry press release, it says Goddess is a unique gourmand aromatic fragrance. Those last three words were in bold, so I feel like that's what they're calling it. Led by a powerful trio of distinct vanillas collected by hand, the beans spend 5 to 7 weeks drying in the sun. They are then stored in wooden boxes to mature and develop their sweet signature aroma. During this process, the vanilla accord is wrapped with notes of lavender in addition to earthy notes of cocoa and ginger roots, creating an aromatic balance to each distinct vanilla.
Girl, who cares? No, I'm kidding. but yeah, maybe it is the jasmine, the juniper, the vanilla. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, the cocoa. Like,
it's like a vanilla sleepover party.
It's just really nice.
Yeah.
And again, it's not a Kaoli vanilla.
Yeah.
It's not a super literal one-to-one vanilla, mm-hmm. but it's definitely there. It's sort of like,
I know like fragrance has, you know, they're really utilizing storytelling now, but I also feel like billing this as a powerful trio of vanilla is not that accurate.
But I think to
the overall effect.
But I think to the Burberry consumer, mm-hmm. who is, for all intents and purposes, or a big sect of them, a fragrance counter mm-hmm. consumer, I think it is that for them, you know?
I feel like if you tell someone that this is a triple vanilla, they're going to expect, like, a flower bomb. Or they're going to expect, like, a Kaoli vanilla.
I think they're going to expect a warm vanilla sugar.
Or that, yeah. It's something where the vanilla is clearly...
I think this is probably as vanilla as they could get while still being, like, viable to their marketing brief.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can like, almost picture... people like the salespeople being like, it's a vanilla, but it's not too vanilla. It's vanilla for people who don't like vanilla, which is also a weirdly redundant thing to say.
It's like to me, sorry, I interrupted you. It smells to me like a fragrance that you layered moisturizer over, and then a cocoa butter over, and then a body oil over. It just smells like sort of an amalgamation
that's
of really
true.
Lovely,
which is really nice,
mellow things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's pretty common that someone will be like, oh my God, you smell so great. Yeah. And then it'll be like, oh, I'm just wearing like body lotion layered with something else on top, and like perfume on body lotion kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is maybe that's like the secret sauce.
Yeah.
Maybe they discovered it. I wish I could like look at the briefs of some fragrances and be like, what was the reference? Because if that was the reference, spot on.
I like it a lot. I mean, I am a vanilla girl, and it's certainly not my top vanilla, but it's really nicely done. Also, if we thought fucking last year was the vanilla sance, you better wait till fall, girl.
Oh, true.
There are a lot of vanillas still coming out from brands that we love, brands that you may or may not expect them mm-hmm. from. We are not through the vanilla period yet. And
strap in.
A lot of them are very good.
We got a very interesting voice note the other week.
We did. I've been thinking about it.
Yeah,
too.
same. Okay. Let's play it.
Hey, Tenon and Sable. My name is Kate. I've been an obsessive listener of the pod for a few years now, and I have kind of a dicey question. So I totally understand if you want to cut or bleep some of this out, since I'm going to mention a brand that we know and love. Acro has released a new fragrance called East. It's a Harrods exclusive, and I don't think they use the O word in any of their marketing materials, but by naming the fragrance that, they are obviously referring to a large swath of the world, and it just still feels icky to me. So my question is, what are your thoughts on brands capitalizing on the concept of the O word without actually saying it? Because I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this now that brands generally know that they can't say that. Thanks.
Okay.
It's a great question.
That is a great question.
Sable, to what word is she referring?
Okay, the O word she means is oriental.
Yes.
Which is an age-old term for certain fragrances that contain notes from the quote-unquote Orient, which is the colonizer term for Asia.
Yeah.
Which also includes the Middle East.
Yeah. I'm going to let you sort of take this away. I have my own thoughts, but...
Well, It's a Harrods exclusive, meaning I think it's only available in London.
Sure.
In England, in Europe, let's just say that. The Fragrantica breakdown says, East by Acro is an amber fragrance for women and men. East was launched in 2003, Olivia Kress, blah, blah, blah. Top note is raspberry, middle notes are leather and agarwood, and they put oud in parentheses. Base note is ambroxan. Four notes.
Okay.
Only one of which is from the quote-unquote East.
Yeah.
I want to know what the marketing language is for this.
You're probably looking at it.
Oh, wait. I'm on the Harrods website now. Okay. The Harrods website says, in the Middle East, one scent remains supreme. Inspired by travels across the Middle East, Acro's East Eau de Parfum is defined by notes of mysterious oud asafi, I hope I'm saying that correctly, and explores the intersection between light and dark, charred wood, and sweet raspberry. The aforementioned oil is recognized as the most precious of its kind in the world, creating an opulent base for this elevated olfactory experience. I feel like if you were gonna make an oud-based fragrance, you could just say oud. Yeah, it does feel a little weird to call it East.
Yeah, it's certainly a choice that was
also made. Also because we live in such a globally connected world now that I don't know.
So her question, though, is do we think that the fragrance industry is going to start capitalizing on the concept of Asia in the Middle East now that we are not saying the O word, not saying Oriental, and all of that?
I feel like fragrance, there are a lot of fragrance brands that love to focus on travel and the transportive olfactory powers of fragrance.
Which makes sense.
But because... It's like because of racism, basically, to focus on the East and the Middle East and Asia, and it bears delicacy and critical thought and a specific type of respect that you wouldn't necessarily have to do for like a fragrance about the South of France or like Italy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the brands lean too much on like the exoticness of the East, which is not the move today. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of brands that do like a Tokyo-based fragrance or like a and it's just like, oh, it's about the energy of Tokyo. And I'm like, cool,
yeah,
great. But I do think it feels a little weird to be like the mysterious oud. And I'm like, is it? Because we know how it's made.
Yeah. So here's what I think. Like, making a fragrance like this and then calling it East is not a choice that I would make. It's a little...
Yeah, the word East is too loaded in this context. Yeah.
I don't think that... And this is not me defending brands, because far be it from this show to give a shit about brands, clearly. Yeah. But I don't think that you can judge the entire fragrance industry by one flop decision of one brand. You know? I just... In general.
Yeah, of course.
And I also say that because Asia and the Middle East is so deeply rooted in fragrance and always has been.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't take their influence out of fragrance today.
For sure.
So, don't necessarily think that anyone is going to start capitalizing on the region or the ingredients or the exports or whatever just because we have better language for it. And what I think is the influence is going to stay the same. What I hope is that we are going to talk about it in a way that is more respectful.
Yes.
You know?
Like paying respects to the origins of these ingredients without trying to paint them as something so mysterious and exotic.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to say Oriental anymore. Sorry, I hate saying the O word, but I also hate saying Oriental. But exactly like you said, it's not going to be fucking like Aladdin Arabian Nights about it either. Like, we can still use these ingredients and pay homage to this and that. It's just in a way that's not a caricature or tokenizing and all of that. This is not that. Like, East is a miss, I would say. And we love Acro, but come on.
I love Acro. And I get that all of their fragrances have a one-word name that's kind of just like a broad umbrella term for the concept they're going for. Yeah. But
it didn't have to be this.
I don't think it had to be regionally specific, to be honest.
And also
it's not a vice.
That's the thing. Their whole collection is about vices, and this is
and
the
indulgences.
First.
And that's also where it gets a little iffy for me.
And not that you can't pivot, you know, Aloria pivoted from their first concept and, you know, they are allowed to do that. But I also think that you have to set that up and say, in our first XYZ concept.
Yeah. If they had a collection.
Yeah. Or even just like, hey, we're moving away. If I own the brand, which I clearly don't, I would make that segue just to make it make some goddamn sense.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think...
This is iffy, but I don't think it's indicative of anything about the fragrance industry.
What I hope is, and this is not an example of this either. I just, like I said, I hope that we are starting to use better language. And for every marketing brief that's like, we're not going to say this word, we're going to call it a spicy vanilla or a spicy floral. Yeah, yeah. There are 10 that say we have to use oriental because that's what the consumer knows. SEO, this and that. I mean, but I would like to think that we are making small movements toward a better culture.
Yeah. I also think that the more, like, it sounds like annoying, but like the more penalized you are for using not great, like iffy words or pejorative words now, mm-hmm. that's how people learn, just by negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
Because ultimately it's like the dollars that speak the loudest.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You vote with your dollar.
Or like the bad PR from backlash. Not that I think Acro's the type of brand who's like big enough for that, or rather they'd have to do something a lot worse than this to have backlash.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember like seeing that, I think, on their Instagram, and I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure about that's why?
Mm-hmm. Not a choice I would have made.
Even like, I don't know, they released this most recently, and then before that, they released one called Bake that I think was only in Europe.
I was just thinking about that too.
Yeah. And it's like meant to be like a lemon cupcake or lemon cake. And I really wanted to smell that, but I think it's only a Europe release for now. I don't know why. And I think it's kind of weird too, because I'm like, I feel like this is for an American audience.
Totally.
Or North American audience, whatever. But yeah, when I think of other Middle Eastern brands, mm-hmm. I think of like Kali,
mm-hmm.
I think of Amouage.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a ton that I'm just not aware of,
sure.
but I feel like a good way to do it is to like look at the way they speak, like market.
Right.
And be like, oh, it's so easy to describe this fragrance without making it about this perception of a place.
Yeah. And like you can say where it's from, or like you just said, where it's from, what it's inspired by, where you got the ingredients from, without being fucking weird about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's, and like you said, people don't do that with Italy or Paris or like any other place.
Also, it's just, I don't know if you could do that with like any Western European place, just because of the way that systemic racism works.
Of course. Right. So, right, like, exactly.
Because there are lots of fragrances about like Paris or Italy where they like really hone in the place and the culture and the vibe, but it just doesn't feel the same, because it's like, oh, well, you're not like a oppressed people.
Yeah.
Not oppressed. That's not the word, but like,
no, I hear what you're saying.
You're not exoticized or othered.
Yeah.
Rather. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great question.
Great question.
Thank you for that.
It inspired many thoughts.
I've been thinking about it for a while.
I don't even know if I've come to like a concrete conclusion about it, but also that's just sometimes how things go.
That's okay.
Because also I'm like, I didn't do this. I don't know how to explain this.
Yeah, I'm not fucking answering for them.
Yeah, exactly. I personally would not have done that.
No.
But
choices were made here.
Choices were made. Maybe that's why it's a Harrods exclusive.
Right. They said, keep that over there.
I wonder that if they were just like, we cannot launch this in America.
Right. One last thing.
Yes.
We are aware of Cloud Pink. No, we haven't gotten it yet. Oh. Yes, I'm dying to. Yes, it is coming at some point.
Did they send you a press release, or did you just email them?
I emailed them, because their REM Beauty functions like a normal beauty PR situation. I feel like the fragrance is always low-key, like an afterthought.
Yeah.
And I think that's more because of the brand, not because of the PR. Mm-hmm. But I am eagerly awaiting it.
I should email them to ask.
Yeah.
But I kind of just wanted to see how you feel about it first before I ask for it. Otherwise, I'll be like, I don't need this.
I preemptively like it.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande, come on the show.
Okay, so we were lucky enough to, well, okay, first of all, we know how much you love our trend forecasts.
Our trend forecast was good.
It's coming true. I think it is coming true.
We have sight.
Yes, we have the sight, we have the smell, we have the industry access.
Yeah.
Speaking of industry access, we have even more industry access, because friend of the pod, Spate, they're like a data trend analysis corp.
The way I don't know who that is.
The way I also don't know what that is, but I also I know what it is. I'm struggling to describe it.
Okay.
They're a beauty trend forecasting data analysis company.
Okay.
They know what you're searching on Google. They know it's indexing. They compare it to what was indexing last year, and then you kind of get a good picture of where the beauty industry is headed.
Could we use them for like journalism?
Yes, that's why they emailed us.
Oh.
They said, please use us for journalism.
But and could I we said, like ask them questions? Like our magic 8-ball?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's literally why they exist.
Oh.
But it's always funny when, even anytime I'm like writing a story and they want stats.
Yeah.
And I'll reach out to the big stat collectors. And usually they have a PR person who will tell you the information you want. But they also sell these like pretty expensive reports on a niche thing in, or a niche industry. And part of me is like, who is buying those? Companies?
I don't know.
Like, I don't think journalists are buying those. So maybe it's just for companies. Anyway, our link at Spate was lovely enough to send us their fragrance trend report. Is it of 2023? Yeah. Fragrance trends reports as of July 2023. It gets into some niche data about what people are searching, personal fragrance trends, what categories are indexing, and then within each category, it gets like pretty granular breakdown. And we've done trend episodes before, so I thought it'd be interesting to compare the facts to our forecasts. And honestly, we're not far off. I think we just word things differently, but I think we're thinking of the same things. We just word it differently.
Yeah, when I read through that, some of their language surprised me, but that's neither here nor there.
For sure. Okay.
Do we want to revisit our trend forecast
first? Yes, let's do that first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we put together our trend forecast just, again, from the access, from knowing what's coming, from knowing what you guys want, from knowing like what people are searching, all of that. So the first one, which sort of broke out into two during our episode, was customization and AI.
Yeah.
And I think right now, and we said on this show that AI is going to have a longer lead time,
but
customization is certainly a thing. Are we seeing that?
I'm seeing a lot of layering.
Okay.
Either in like content with tutorials or brands that launch with the intent to have the fragrances layered.
Yeah, I think customization of all that was on our list is the one that's hitting the least. But you're right. I think it is really taking off in UGC and content. And I think the layering of it all, like you said, is still
I think layering is like the way that any person could customize a fragrance.
But we keep
unless you bought like a really expensive bespoke fragrance, which most people aren't doing probably.
But we keep seeing fucking TikToks and reels about like fragrance cocktailing and layering and all of that.
We just did the, what was it, for TZR?
Yeah.
An editor at TZR asked us to give our input about a fragrance layering article.
And I famously hate layering.
I know. I love how you opened with that. You're like, I don't believe in this.
I don't believe in it, but that's just, that's a personal thing. Fair, you know, and you do. So I'm, you know,
I don't, it's not that I do. It's that I don't not.
Yeah. Not that.
If it makes sense.
Non-answer. God, I hope I never, we had never have to go to court for anything. Cause you can never answer.
I didn't not mean to do it. Okay.
Did you murder him? Not? No. functional fragrance
functional
is another one.
Fragrances.
And this was on their list in another way that I, this was the one I was surprised. They used pheromones.
Yeah.
Which we've all but debunked, right? And by we, I mean sort of like the royal we.
I don't think we have, honestly.
Really?
I think science has, but I don't think it's trickled down to the masses. Because remember, like, all of last year, I was trying to track down a pheromones expert.
Yeah.
And, like, the perfect guy, like, the preeminent world expert of pheromones just, like, would not email me back.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's in Oxford.
England. Coward.
And I remember, like, looking, like, watching a lot of the video lectures he's given and being like, yo, this guy knows what's up. Mm-hmm. And then reading his website bio, and he just opens with, I am gay. And I was like, this is the guy.
Me.
Yeah. I was like, we need him on the phone.
My LinkedIn.
It was kind of interesting because he led with that because he was like, I think it's important to have transparency about different non-traditional figures in science.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. He's like, because it does inform your experience and that your perception of the world. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, actually. I never really thought about that.
Come on this gay-ass podcast, you homo.
Come on our gay podcast, please.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, super smart guy. And in reading all of his materials and watching his TED Talks, basically he said that human pheromones do not work in the way that we think they do.
Yeah.
That they are not for sexual attraction. They are for mother-child bonding.
Hmm.
There is a sort of mate-finding aspect in smell. Yeah. And I know that we talked about this with Rachel Herz on our episode with her, where people will pick up on other people's genetics through their smell, and they'll be more attracted to someone who has opposite genetics to them. So it's like you don't accidentally mate with your sibling.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But that also is affected if you are on hormonal birth control, interestingly enough. But yeah, pheromones in humans. There has been no solid scientific study that confirms it works in that way. Mm-hmm. So everyone shut up. If someone is trying to sell you some pheromone love potion, you are being taken for a ride.
Functional fragrance, though, I still think it's bullshit, but it is scientifically proven
to... Yes, that is neurologically studied.
...affect moods. Yeah. I was thinking about this, actually, even when I was back with Estee Lauder and Becca, we put out this liquid highlighter that was scented, and it smelled like shit, but it had...
I think they need to stop scenting.
Oh, my God, please. But... it had musk and citrus in it, and we wanted to talk about it we didn't use this term, but in a functional fragrance way. And our legal team, because Estee Lauder legal team are famously the cops, they sort of put the kibosh on everything that we wanted to say except energizing, because they're like, well, this has been proven to be energizing, you can say that, don't say anything else. But on our Nuco episode, we talked a lot about functional fragrance, and then in our episodes Givaudan series. So yeah, and we have been seeing that trickle out to the masses, and from the little insider knowledge that we have, there's many more to come.
I feel like it has mood, scent has mood altering or mood affecting powers. I don't know, when it comes to attraction, I'm like, there's just so much more involved in that. You can be attracted to somebody's smell for sure, but not their pheromones. I don't know.
Abolish pheromones,
which is really funny because the top trending search terms is vabbing.
Which brings me to, when are these from, last year? I mean, I know
that they're months,
right,
past 12 months. Ending in May 2023. So from May 2022 to May 2023.
That tracks, because no one talks about vabbing anymore. Yep. But I feel like this time last year, everyone was fucking...
I don't know. Again, if it helps you feel more confident, because it's your own secret sauce, okay, cool, whatever.
Please, but not that.
Yeah. Placebo effect is real.
It is. Yeah. It is. Next on our list was... the second coming of celebrity fragrances, which I will not cop to being wrong about. I just don't think it's happening as quickly as we thought. However, celebrity brands have not stopped.
I think it's going to continue steadily. I don't think there's going to be a spike. I definitely think it's going to continue, and probably the figures you wouldn't necessarily expect to do a fragrance are going to do a fragrance.
Yeah.
I mean, Beyonce's doing a fragrance.
It's not her first. Did a fragrance. Yeah, there's a bunch. And you're right. It's certainly back in a way that it was not 3 years ago. I think we're going to see a slow but steady uptick.
Yes. Also, I always think it's interesting the types of figures who release fragrances. And it's always musicians. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it actors or writers or comedians? Or
I don't want to smell like a comedian.
But I hear what you're saying. But I just think why is it always musicians? What does that mean? I guess influencers.
Yeah, but why is that, do you think?
Yeah. What's the deal? Maybe because musicians are so much they're selling themselves.
Yeah.
Actors are kind of just other people.
Yeah.
In their job. Maybe that
has I think it's like a glamour it. Thing. And it's, yeah. I think we're saying the same thing, a glamour and a persona that you're not going to get through a skincare or makeup. But Courtney Cox is doing hand soap, dish soap. I think I have been interested in seeing celebrities break out into other verticals that aren't fucking fragrance, makeup, and skincare. But I do think what converts mostly are...
it's always household, I feel. Yeah. Even Seth Rogen has pottery.
Pottery.
She's Shay Mitchell. She also has a luggage brand. She's an actress. Lifestyle, quote unquote. It's a lot of lifestyle.
People like that
stuff.
Luggage, though.
Yeah. I think I've looked at it before, not knowing that it was a celebrity luggage line, being oh, that's nice.
Shay Mitchell is so beautiful. Anyway.
Anyway.
Oh, speaking of Pretty Little Liars.
Lucy Hale.
Nope. Ashley, what's her fuck?
Benson.
Nope. Ashley Benson, yes, sorry. Ashley Benson. Did a fragrance,
she is a fragrance last line. Year. Yes.
Anyway, we're right.
Isn't it been around for a while?
No.
Okay.
Last fall, I want to say.
Okay. Never mind.
Should have.
Moving down the line. Moving.
Intenses continued. That is true and showing no signs of slowing down.
No.
Gourmands.
Gourmands. Yeah, Gourmands were a big one.
Of any on this list.
Yes.
gourmands are still very much on the rise, if the fragrance that we're wearing today is any indication.
So Vabbing was on top.
Okay.
Followed by Pheromone perfume. Followed by body spray. Followed by mini perfume. Perfume oil. Arabian perfume. Yikes. Or maybe that's just what you call it. I don't know. Vanilla perfume. Musk perfume. Pheromone oil. And hair perfume.
Knock it off with the pheromones, people. Just go get you a man.
Just, I don't know. I don't think people know how to talk to each other anymore.
Hit my mic one more time. Say that one more time.
I don't think people know how to interpersonally relate to one another anymore.
I'm afraid to ask you to expand on that.
Nobody knows how to date unless it's via your phone.
Yeah.
So when they're in person, they just don't know how to read things. Mm-hmm. And then I think they look into things that they saw on TikTok of icks and beige flags and all that stuff. And it's almost like you're focusing more on
content verticals.
Yes. Content verticals than looking at a person holistically.
Totally.
That way.
Yeah. It's really scary.
It is scary. Which I haven't done yet, but I was asked to do this. A dating advice column for Slate.
I thought you did do that. Oh, no.
I mean, like, I'm in the midst of doing it, but they just kind of had a Google Doc where you could fill in, ask anonymous questions. Yeah. Literally all of them had to do with online dating.
Well, I mean, that's how people meet, I guess.
But part of me is just like, well, online dating is one thing. It's like, you go on a date, you like them, you're not, whatever. But then I'm like, what do you do when you're in the relationship? Or, you know, you have an issue where you're actually dealing with a person like in a relationship. Does nobody think about that? I don't know. I was just surprised at how it all seemed to focus on the online dating of it all. And it's entirely possible too that people had asked other questions, and that's all the ones that the editor had sent me because they filtered them. So I don't know what all the submissions looked like, but yeah.
Do you think that, like, because we, I mean, okay, not to sound old as fuck, but like, I feel like we were the last generation to at least get into dating pre-apps, like pre-Grindr, pre-Tinder, pre-all of that. Do you think now that, I mean, it's such a fucking song and dance of like exchange and like social currency and all of that on an app, that there are some people that don't really know how to move past that and don't know how to like nurture the relationship itself, you know what I mean? Because I feel like we talk about like apps and photos and whatever, but I just feel like with, I mean, this sounds judgy and I absolutely don't mean it to be, but I feel like people don't know what to do like when they get in the relationship,
yes, you know what I mean? No, completely.
Or like how to take it from like, what, like, oh, we're dating, we're seeing each other, but like, now what? I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm not a relationship girl. Anyway, back to fragrance. No. Okay. So what is illuminating to me about this list was body spray and mini. Mini, not so much.
Mini,
like,
I get.
Mini.
I love a mini. We love a mini.
Yeah. And it's a good entryway. Yeah. Whatever. But body sprays, because there have been so many coming out in the last year, last 6 months. And I'm like, who are these?
I think it's for like Gen Z. I think it's for young people who don't want to spend like $100.
They're still $40.
Yeah, that's true. 40 versus like 60 or 100 though. And I think
40 also, versus 100.
There's a perception because you get a lot more.
A lot more. Yeah. And I'm not here to shit talk body sprays. I just feel like they weren't a thing since we were teenagers and now they're back by these big brands. Like Henry Rose is doing them. Alice Brooklyn is doing them. I hate Henry Rose, but Alice Brooklyn's doing them. Like, and I'm like, who
are these trying to elevate the body spray?
I
think like that's what's interesting to me is like, why are you trying to elevate this category that's kind of not meant to be luxury? But then I just, as I was saying that, I answered my own question because I'm like, they're trying to make everything luxury now.
But I mean, Bath & Body Works has always done body sprays.
And they're what, like $12?
Sure.
Maybe, I think $20, I think now.
I have no idea.
They call it a fragrance mist.
Sure.
I think it's an entry point for maybe the younger customer or the customer who's not committed to spending a lot on a fragrance.
Also easier to travel with in most cases.
Sure. Yeah.
I guess not by volume, but by a component.
Yeah.
If you wear body sprays, please send us a DM and tell us why.
I'm just
genuinely curious.
Cost? Because when I think about what I would buy, I'm like, it would probably be because the cost. But then you're right. If these luxury brands, I think the Brooklyn Ellis ones are like $50.
They're not cheap at all.
Yeah, they're not. And they're in a glass bottle, which is weird. I don't know.
That. I'm like, this is expensive and fragile. Say it again.
They're limited edition.
So they say.
Sol de Janeiro famously has lots of popular body sprays. It's not a splash, it's a spray. And I think those are what, like...
Buddha, sorry.
Sol de Janeiro.
Yeah.
They have a lot. They're really popular. And they have mainstays, and they have limited edition ones. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm like, why don't you just make this a perfume?
That surprises me less, though, just because they're like flanker, and their whole hero is the Chirosa, whatever the hell it's called.
I never know how to say that word. Chirosa? Chirosa. I don't know why I say it with a hard C like it's Italian, but it's not. They're $24 to $38. So that's not like...
24, I'll give you 38. Yeah. It's like, all right, we gotta put a cap
on. I think it has to be below 30. I think body spray should be below 30. But that's just me. Summer fragrance was a term. I mean, and I think that's just because... Maybe it's the timing? I don't know. Yeah. Hair perfume. It doesn't look like it's like a crazy amount increase, but just like a little bit more.
I feel like hair perfume is always the last thing that a brand will flanker out. You know what I mean? It's like once they've done every other formula, they're like, and now hair.
Yeah. Even though I'm like, you could literally just spray
perfume in your hair.
That's kind of the weird thing to me, is that like, literally, what is the difference between just spraying perfume on hair with like without the marketing lingo?
It's probably alcohol versus not alcohol, because you don't want to spray alcohol on your hair.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I went to an event for one hair brand. They're a Swedish hair brand called Sasha Wan.
Okay.
And they released hair fragrances specifically, but it also had like oils.
Sure. Like nourishing. So
it was like a hair styling product that also was scented, which I thought was clever, because it's like you're just using a hair product, but it happens to smell really nice. Uh-huh. And it doesn't smell like hairspray. They had interesting scents. But other than that, they're the only non-fragrance brand releasing hair fragrances that I've seen. I'm sure there's others. One thing I will say, we were correct about pistachio.
And it's not over.
It's not over. It's the top note search, year on your growth. And what is interesting is that strawberry is also one of the top searched things. And I remember you were talking about strawberry fragrances not too long ago.
Yeah, there needs to be more.
There needs to be more.
Burberry Her, fucking Malin and Goetz.
Yep.
Yeah, we need to have, and I'm surprised that there are not more strawberry forward fragrances, but hopefully.
I feel like every alleged strawberry fragrance I've smelled, it does not really smell very strawberry.
That's the thing. I feel like it's like a storytelling note to draw you in, but then they do like, but it's not super strawberry, like, but it's this, but it's
even
that.
I'm like, we want it to be.
Bitch, I want to be strawberry shortcake. Look at me.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of gourmands. There's a lot of demand for gourmands with specific foods and fruits requested.
Yeah, so I think pistachio sort of, D.S. and Durga's pistachio sort of opened up this floodgate of like, let's get weird and specific.
Yeah.
And I love that because I crave that.
Yeah.
And I hope that continues. Like we said, we're going to see more pistachio and we're certainly going to see more vanilla, but I want to get fucking weirder. I still want a cashew.
I feel like I've seen cashew nuts.
No, I want like a cashew.
Oh, a cashew.
I want like a Kaali cashew.
Okay.
Mona,
okay,
what's
okay.
good? Let's collab.
I think hazelnut is probably going to be the pistachio adjacent.
I'm surprised it's not already.
Because hazelnut is a note.
With all these Nutella bitches.
And like cocoa. Oh. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. What if Nutella released like some sort of weird licensed fragrance?
Right.
Smell like Nutella. I think people would love that.
I would too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Like the banana pudding candle, a Nutella candle. How can that not exist? That has to exist. I'd be crazy if it wasn't.
We're giving away too many free ideas.
We are. We need royalties.
Me too.
But yeah, I do. The most interesting to me, I think, is this trend of like floral ambers dominating the designer for women.
I mean, it's safe.
Parfum. It is safe. And I remember speaking to a perfumer about it a couple of weeks ago at the Firmenich party.
Mm.
And they're like, yeah, pretty much everyone's like, this is what works. So we're going to do this. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's depressing, but also unsurprising.
I mean, people got to make their, you know, projections.
Yeah. There's a part of me that's like, I feel like every big designer house should have just like references of like, for creativity's sake, like, look at Angel.
Yeah.
That like disrupted, that was completely not of the trend, and it became the most popular fragrance. And like a YSL or a Burberry or a...
It was also of the time.
Yeah, though. Versace like could have... They have the money to take that hit.
Yeah. I don't know. No one wants to take a loss, though.
That's true, but still. It's like... nobody wants to take money sucking risks anymore.
Get your ass up and flop.
It's the title of this episode.
Are we good?
I think we're good. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we're happy to be back, and we have some really exciting things in the works, I believe. But we wanted to come back, just Sable and I, and say hey.
Say hey.
So thanks for joining us again. I'll smell you later.
Please send us more voice notes. I really like them.
Yes, Sable loves your voice notes.
Yay.
You can follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. Hit us on our website where you can leave us that voice note. You can shop our merch. Did you see someone bought all the merch yesterday? Shout out to whoever that was.
What the heck?
It's like, all right.
They're kitted out.
I can't blame them. It's very cute and very soft. Every time. I wear that shit all the time. Except right now because it's so hot. Follow me. I'm at TynanBuck.
I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.